sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Forsake me, take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there in His arms. Oh, in His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace.
Hello friends, welcome to worship today. It is so delightful that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's say the call to worship together. In this Easter season, Jesus calls your name. We hear and know His voice. Jesus calls you to come closer. We are invited to share in His inheritance. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who guides and protects His flock, who guides and protects us. Hallelujah. Let us worship together and let us light the Christ candle. If you have one at home, please join me as we remember Jesus is the light of the world. Friends, let's pray the 23rd Psalm together. This is the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Friends, let's pray the prayer of confession together. Lord, like a shepherd, you never stop searching for your people. Your care for us anticipates our need, and before we recognized we needed your grace, in love, Jesus gave his life for our forgiveness. We confess that we need your forgiveness, and we confess our sins. You are the shepherd, and we are your flock. But we admit the times we have tried to take your place and take control ourselves. We admit that we have not always trusted your good news to be good for us. At times, we have pleaded with you to care for us, but we have held back from caring for others and ignored the needs of others. Lord, have mercy upon us. Forgive us in the name of Jesus. Loving Shepherd, teach us by the Holy Spirit to follow you in the days and places of the weeks ahead. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Friends, today is the fourth Sunday of the Easter season, but it is also what we commonly call Good Shepherd Sunday. And in our reading, we are going to hear that the Good Shepherd knows us, his sheep, and that he has laid down his life for us. He's given his life so that we may live. So in him, in Christ, we find forgiveness, we find wholeness, and we find restoration. Simply in Christ, we find life. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and I'm reading verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God.
Well, up to this point in this season of Easter, we have been hearing again the stories of how the risen Christ came to his disciples, amazing them and preparing them for the next chapter in their lives as his followers. They would actually all spend the rest of their lives as witnesses to the incredible truth of all that Jesus' life had held, of the profound act of love that was the crucifixion, and surely most astoundingly, of the truth that they had experienced firsthand, that after a short time dead, he had been resurrected to life again. These are our Easter stories, And we love them. I know I really love them. They're among my favorites. Today, though, the folks who have put together this lectionary schedule of readings that we are following right now, they've taken a bit of a left turn on us. While Jesus' words in this reading do definitely point us squarely towards Jesus' death and resurrection, this is not actually a post-resurrection story. It happened sometime in the midst of Jesus' ministry, long before the cross was in view for anyone but him. Jesus had been tangling with the Pharisees again. They had issues with him having healed a man who had been born blind, and he had responded with his own issues with them. Jesus pointed out the Pharisees' blindness, not a literal blindness, but a complete inability to recognize him or to be able to see how his whole life and ministry was infused with God's love and God's will. He was trying to help them to see that he truly was the Good Shepherd. Now, for anyone who's been hanging around the church for any amount of time, this Good Shepherd imagery of Jesus is pretty familiar to us. So familiar that we may actually be at risk of glossing over it. We get it. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. For goodness sakes, we even have a stained glass window that reminds us of this every time we gather here in our sanctuary. But what does Jesus being our Good Shepherd really mean? What does it mean to us, to me, to you? Well, as Phil taught us a few weeks ago, to answer that, we need to actually start in a different place with a different question. Before we can discern what it means to us that Jesus is our Good Shepherd, we actually need to explore what it meant to the first people who were listening to him when he first said this, to his disciples and to those Pharisees who were objecting to his ministry. For both the disciples and the Pharisees, this shepherd imagery that Jesus was using would have been very familiar. While we hear those words, Good Shepherd, and we probably quickly think of Jesus, they would have heard them, and they would have had some other associations come to mind. Throughout the Old Testament, there are stories of giants in the Jewish faith. Their names you will know. And they were people who had started out as shepherds and then gone on to be leaders. People like Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, Moses, and of course, most famous of all, David. So when Jesus proclaimed himself to be the Good Shepherd, they likely assumed that he was lumping himself in with all those other great leaders. But there would have been more than just that to their associations with this shepherd imagery, more than just those great names. For the people of Israel, the word shepherd had also been closely associated with their kings. People knew that God expected the kings of Israel to reign as shepherds over their people. God had said that. Now, over the course of history, many of those kings had not done a very good job of doing that. And so through the prophets, God had rendered his judgment. Bad kings were bad shepherds. So there was no missing it. There was this clear association between being a shepherd and being a king, good or bad. So while those there may have heard Jesus suggesting that he was among those great names from the history of Israel, they may also have heard him proclaiming to be their king. Well, we sit here today and we can see that both of those things were and are true. But for anyone who was there that day, at that point in Jesus' life and ministry, both of those claims must have seemed pretty audacious. And if that's not enough, there was even more. Beyond putting himself in line with the likes of Abraham, Moses, and David, Jesus was making an even bigger claim. And it was one that was probably shocking for everyone. Remember the famous Psalm, Psalm 23, and remember how it begins. The Lord is my shepherd. That psalm tells us that God is our faithful, kind, loving shepherd. God is our shepherd who provides all that we need throughout all the days of our lives. Which means that at least some of the people who were listening to Jesus that day may have figured out that in saying he was the good shepherd, he was also actually proclaiming himself to be God. Now, notice that while there is this obvious connection with those famous opening words from Psalm 23, Jesus didn't just straight up echo those words. He didn't say, "I am the shepherd." He said, "I am the good shepherd." Just one word added, but a word that holds a whole bunch of meaning, a very important word. Because what does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus is our good shepherd? Beyond being the greatest of the Israelites, beyond being the king, what was Jesus trying to tell people about himself? What is he telling us? Well, that question really draws my mind back to an early scene from C.S. Lewis's famous Narnia book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The central figure in the whole series of the Narnia stories is a lion named Aslan. And in many ways, you figure out as you read these books that Aslan actually reflects Jesus. And Lewis certainly was using that character of Aslan to teach us about Jesus and to help us to actually experience what Jesus is like through the telling of those Narnia stories. Early on in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there is a scene in which one of the main characters, a little girl named Susan, is learning from Mr. and Mrs. Beaver about this mysterious Aslan that she keeps hearing about. After hearing that he was a lion, Susan asks, "Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." Mr. Beaver responds, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he is good. He's the king, I tell you. But he is good." I think Lewis was right. So back to our passage, back to our question, what is Jesus telling us when he says he is the good shepherd? Well, the word good here actually means something more than just the opposite of bad. It encompasses the idea that Jesus is our model for being morally good, honorable and noble, and faithful, faithful beyond our ability to comprehend. So when Jesus said that he is the good shepherd, He was saying that he was all of those things and more. Some biblical experts suggest that the good Jesus means, the good that we actually get to see and experience in him, it contains elements of all of those qualities bundled up together in a way that is, quite simply, beautiful. He doesn't just do good things. He is good in his very essence. Well, as we try to grasp this idea of his goodness, a goodness that truly is beautiful, I thought it might be helpful if we just stopped and took a few moments individually right now to each try to bring to mind the best person we've ever known. Someone who is loving and kind, humble, honest, faithful, perhaps even noble in some way. Have you ever known someone like that? Have you got someone in your mind? If you do, then now think about how wonderful they are. Think about how you feel when you're with them. Even maybe how you feel right now as you think about them. Wouldn't you say that they are or were truly a beautiful person? That's the beauty we're talking about. I think these precious people in our lives give us a little glimpse of this beautiful goodness that we find in Jesus, our Good Shepherd. There is a beauty within him that just shines. It shines from his life and from all that he is. It's a beauty that is so much more substantial than just appearances. It's about who he is, and it's about how he is with us. And consequently, it is also about what he brings to everything he touches. His beautiful goodness really is a light that shines in the darkness, a light that makes us and life in this world better. Jesus truly is the Good Shepherd. And on top of all of that, perhaps most profoundly perplexing and beautiful thing about him is simply that he wants to be our Good Shepherd. He wants us to let him love and care for us, provide for and protect us. He promises to love us without condition and without reservation. And just as he said he would, he gave his life so that we might be close to him. Really, really close. Like, if you believe what he says in this passage, he wants to be as close to us as he is to God the Father. He wants us to know him and to be known by him in the same way that he and his Father know each other. Think about that. According to Jesus, it might be possible for us to share that same kind of connection, the same kind of intimacy that he shares with his Father. That's incredible. But in these verses, we hear him saying that we just have to learn to listen to his voice and follow his lead. And that depth of connection, that close to Christ life, can be ours. Isn't that something? All of that is what it really means for Jesus to be our good shepherd. It's also what is really possible if we'll let him be that for us. And friends, isn't that a truly good and beautiful possibility? Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Holy, merciful God, we thank you for the beauty of spring unfolding before us in the form of early spring flowers, preparation of bird nests, and skies that seem to be more blue each day. We are grateful for the nourishing rain and the signs of fresh grass and flowers that decorate branches of fruit trees. We are grateful for sufficient food and housing. We pray that our hearts will be opened to share our abundance with those who do not have enough to live on, in whatever new capacity we are capable of. We pray for all citizens of our world who were caught in the middle of the conflict of war. May the hardened hearts of those who were fighting each other be softened in such a way that they acknowledge and assist these citizens rather than destroying their ability to survive. May there be peace. For those who are ill, for those grieving, and those preparing for operations in the coming week, we ask that their hearts be open to your nurturing presence of peace in a deep, enriching way that includes trust that your abiding presence is with us through every sorrow that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, I thank you again for all of the ways that you give to the life and work of the church in all of its forms and in all of the forms of your giving. Will you join me now as we pray together to dedicate all that has been given to be part of God's kingdom work in this world. The shepherd cares for us, providing all that we need in abundance. The shepherd calls us to love one another in truth and action. So, loving God, may our gifts reflect our trust in the shepherd's care. And may our offerings show our willingness to love one another. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, if you are local to the Parksville-Qualicum area, I'd like you to know that the World Day of Prayer is coming up on April 26th. And a service to mark that is being hosted by St. Columba's Presbyterian Church here in French Creek. It will happen on the 26th, which is a Friday, at 2 p.m. And it is an ecumenical service, so all are welcome. So if you are interested in attending that service, please do so. If you would like more information, it's in your emailed announcements. Friends, go now with trust in our Good Shepherd, and let us love, not just with words, but in truth and in action. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us. And as you go, may God be at your side, even in the valleys of death. May Christ Jesus be the cornerstone of your life, and may the Holy Spirit abide in you and tend you with love and mercy all the days of your life. Amen.